about time. Why don't you go outside or something? Nerd.
Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 136. Yes, this is the 136th edition here at the Caffeination. We are wired for sound. We have a great show lined up for you today. It is absolutely packed full of content. We have a veritable plethora of content. Yes, that's right. I said veritable plethora. We have a huge amount of stuff to talk about today. Hopefully, you're in for the long haul. Hopefully, this isn't going to be another one of those 54-minute podcasts. But in order to stop that from happening, we should probably just get right on into everything. First off, we'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in. For all the new listeners, hi, you are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. It's a wonderful little show, at least I think it is, and a couple other people do, too. It's all about coffee and tech and the loving mixture of the two. Rather caffeine in general, but still. This is a show that lives over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And anything you hear in the episode, anything you want to throw me a line about, talk, chat, whatever else, you can email that to caffeination@gmail.com. So, alright, we have a wonderful selection from the PodSafe Music Network and music.podshow.com coming up in just a little bit. But first off, I wanted to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. We'd been getting to it a little bit late in the show, so we wanted to put it out right up front. First of all, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone will log on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen will show up on their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demonstrations, training, or real-time collaborations. Plus, you're not charged a per-minute fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, without ever having to leave your office. You'll not only end up saving a huge amount of time, but a lot of money as well. You can see for yourself. You just head on over and try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination. So far, so good with all that. We're very happy with the way things are heading out over at the Caffeination. All the ads on the site are working correctly. The people, there was some confusion. I actually had a couple of people email me and say, well, which ones are the ones that actually support your site? Well, if you really look at it, the Google ads are the ones that directly monetarily support the site. The GoToMeeting ad is more of a indirect support. That is on there because of GoToMeeting's ad deal with us. So that's basically showing you that they are the primary sponsor for the Caffeination. And all the stuff on the side is all AdSense. So basically, every time you would reload a page, those ads are supposed to change. They're all the text links on the very far right-hand side. So if you feel like supporting the Caffeination and anything over on the far right-hand side piques your interest, please click on one of those links and head on your merry way to find out what's over there. But still, every time I go over there, there's just something that's like, really? A video card? How are you getting that? But okay, whatever else. Alright, well, first up, like I was talking to you, we have a wonderful selection today for you from the PodSafe Music Network. That's music.podshow.com. It's a wonderful little site. You can head on over there and check a whole bunch of independent artists out, and even some of the ones you might know. So first off, we have a band called The Raunch Tones and their wonderful song, Guaranteed Recipe. Now, I was listening to the Delta Sierra Charlie, the Daily Source Code by Adam Curry not too long ago, and he didn't feature this artist, but he was saying something about people who only put one song up on the PodSafe Music Network. He says what it means is they're trying to throw out they're just trying to put out their feelers to see how the network works. They're trying to put out just their best effort possible. They cull through years of hard work and say, you know what, this is the song that represents our band the best. So that's what I've come to think, at least, about this band called The Raunch Tones. So I'd like you to tell me what you think of this song. Again, this is The Raunch Tones from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. And you can head on over there and over onto our site and actually get the direct link over to their website so you can purchase their CD and all everything else. So again, here's a Guaranteed Recipe from The Raunch Tones. ¶¶
sweet, sweet Hunt Apco.
All right, again, that was the Raunch Tones from the PodSafe Music Network. I think I've said that a couple times here. What I forgot to tell you about in the beginning of the song, well, you've kind of figured it out for yourself at this point, but we started up something new last time doing the PodSafe stuff. We wanted to tell you at least what we thought it sounded like. To me, that sounded like really good, hard-driving music from the early days of Aerosmith. That sounded like more like the train kept rolling kind of stuff, but that was just the music. The vocals were on a completely different level. The vocals were something like the guys from the Violent Femmes, I guess. They had like a little bit more of like a punk riff than something like Aerosmith, which had a lot more of the classic rock vibe. So at least that's how I felt about the whole thing. Hopefully you enjoyed that. If there's a different kind of music you'd like to hear on here in the podcast, you know, anything from classical to rap to comedy to country, anything you want to hear, just send us an email at caffeination@gmail.com and we'll try and get that up and on there for you. Alright, first up, a little bit of general information. The Juiced, this is the final time that I'm going to say anything about it. I'm just going to throw a little icon up on the page after this, and then we'll be done with that. We still have beta invites for Juiced, so in case you don't know what it is, it's kind of like a TV on your computer, and the closer that it gets to the initial public offering for Juiced, the more crazy cool content that I keep finding on there. Like, for instance, yesterday when I was sending out an invite to somebody, I was actually looking at it and going, you know what? I haven't really taken a good look at some of these channels recently, and they just keep to be more and more of them popping up. So, like, there's a whole bunch of great Comedy Central stuff, and I'm a sucker for good comedy. And they had Aqua Teen Hunger Force on there, like 4 or 5 episodes. So, of course, I sat down and accidentally watched 3 or 4 of them. So I don't think I watched them all, so I might end up having to do that after this, but still. It's a fun little time to go on over there. But in case you'd like an invite, because it is still in beta, it's still technically a private beta, so if you need if you'd like to try it out, just shoot me on over an email. Say, hey, could you send me an invite? And as long as I have your email address, no problems, no worries. Second thing up here is we have big things in the work, not necessarily for the caffeination, but it's more along the lines of stuff in my life and stuff in the life of everybody around here. Hopefully it won't affect the caffeination too much, and once everything comes to fruition and once stuff starts working around here, I'll let you know exactly what's happening. But it's just one of those things where it's like you'd love to start talking about things, but you don't want to jinx anything, so we'll see if everything works out. We have a whole bunch of fun things that we're trying to do around here, so yeah, we have the tech tidbit section coming right on up here, so I figure might want to dive into that just a little bit. Now, the first thing we have up here is something directly out of an old Nikola Tesla thing here. This is along the lines of science fiction. So the first thing we have here is actually wireless power. MIT has apparently coalesced several of their brightest minds into figuring out how to create wireless power. Now, this is a dream of the unbelievable inventor Nikola Tesla, compatriot while at the same time bitter rival to Edison. I believe it was Edison. I think so. Anyway, man was an absolute genius, way off the charts, anything that you can possibly imagine. And he swore that there was a way to transmit electricity safely and wirelessly. So according to this, the article that they have linked up there, apparently they've decided on the unfortunate name of Witricity, Witricity. Now, the only bad thing about something like this when it comes up, something so earth-shattering and so changing, is that if this had happened like 30, 40, 50 years ago even, this would have been one of those things for the goodness of mankind. We're going to put this out there. The inventor's probably going to make a little bit of a dime off it, you know, but it's one of those things where it would kind of like be spread around, because, I mean, alternating current was an invention. I mean, all the things that we take for granted, all the little tiny little things. The internal combustion engine was an invention at some time. So if we lived in the kind of realm that we currently sit in of all these patent negotiations and everybody suing and people patenting like the stupidest and most inane things, like, oh, I'm going to patent how to drive a car, because nobody's patented that yet. They only patented the controls. You know, it's that kind of thing that's going to really, I don't know, hold us back from what we could be. So this is one of those things where it's coming out, and it's coming out of an educational institution, so I'm pretty sure that it's actually going to be It's going to be distributed. It's going to be a lot more widely used than if it had come out of, let's say, like Lucent Technologies or AT&T or something like that, or God forbid, one of the other cell phone companies. But still, all right, now we're just going to move right along here. Unfortunately, if you remember our last episode, we talked a little bit about an unfortunate accident, either that or the opening salvo in the oncoming robot wars. Well, apparently, if no one around here is going to strike back, we have to wait for our criminals to do it. So when you outlaw guns, only guns. You know, only criminals have guns then at that point, and only criminals can get guns. Well, let's just take it one step further and have the criminals actually working on our side. What would that cause? Well, that cause might cause something like what we had going on here. Apparently, there was a robot called Roll Marie whose entire job, whose entire purpose in life was to defuse bombs and to go into situations where humans might consider it dangerous. So apparently, this gentleman must have read Last Caffeination or listened to Last Caffeination or something like that. This General Wackadoo, as my wife would call him, was holed up in a shack somewhere in the middle of Denmark, and he decided that he wasn't coming out. And the police decided they really didn't fancy going in after him. So what did they do? They sent poor Roll Marie in. Roll Marie got in there, I guess equipped with speakers or something else like that, saying, hey, please, knock it off. And the guy took that as a threat. I mean, because who wouldn't take a giant... who wouldn't take a giant robot that has tank treads and all the other kinds of accoutrements hanging off of it as a threat when it comes in there? So he shot it several times. That really didn't work. The poor robot didn't know what was happening. Then he apparently found a blunt axe. Not just a sharp axe. I mean, it might have been a sharp axe when he started, but it quickly became dulled after trying to break it over the robot's head and attempted to beat it into smithereens. So apparently the damage was so extensive that they had to actually replace the robot, but he struck the first blow in the return salvo for the revolution here. So next up, the U.S. military, again with the robots and the military, so you can see where this is going, has decided to create sort of a Red Cross for robots. So this is a... For some reason, this is BBC reporting on the U.S. military, but hey. So they've decided that the best thing in the world, the best robot to send out into harm's way to signify that this robot is a non-combatant, to make people feel at ease, the best thing to do is to have some kind of strange mutant child of a Transformer that's supposed to resemble a teddy bear. Yes, you heard it right, a gray teddy bear. Nowhere near the uncanny valley of last time, the strange child that we had on the show. No. This is a giant 6 foot tall teddy bear that's apparently capable to maneuver stairs, rough terrain from, you know, whatever you can possibly throw at this robot. It's supposed to take it all. It's called the Battlefield Extraction Assist Robot, or Bear. Bear can mean so many things in this world, but it has a friendly appearance so far, and it has articulated palms and everything like that, so it's supposed to be able to scoop up the fallen soldier and take him back gently to the sidelines. Now, apparently, they're not going to paint this red or anything like that. They're just going to leave it like some Hello Kitty reject, so there's actually a link that we're going to attempt to put back in there. It's a link off of the Slashdot article we have listed, which actually shows the countenance of this strange-looking robot. Next up, if anybody out there has an extra $24,500, or if you have an extra $25,000 to round it out, first of all, you send the $500 right off the top to me as a finder's fee. Second of all, you use your $24,500 to purchase a replica robot B9 from the Lost in Space. Now, what is the B9, in case you're not really sure? This is a perfect replica of the Danger, Danger Will Robinson robot. There are 60 of these available, and apparently a lot of people decided this was going to be a cool thing to do. First of all, these are awesome. So I think I saw something very similar to this in the Sony Museum, the Game Museum in San Francisco. I think there's actually a picture of me with it, although that might have been Robbie the robot. I'm not really sure. But still, hey, giant old 60s looking robot just equals awesome right off the bat. So now, if this sounds just a little bit tired on my part, that's because this is the second time we're recording this little segment right here. We're hoping to eliminate whatever that strange buzzing is that we keep hearing from time to time. So please, if anybody hears any strange audio feedback or anything like that, please feel free to send in not this. This is music that's supposed to be there. It's just supposed to be a little bit lower. All right. So if anybody hears anything, it sounds like I'm on a really bad connection or something like that, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com. We're trying to eliminate it all so it never actually gets out the door, but sometimes a couple minutes of it sneak by. Please rest assured we're trying to work on it. No clue what's causing it at this point in time. So let's see what we have here. We're still continuing down this road, the robot thing. What happens when the Addams Family meets robots? Well, apparently you get something that looks a little bit like this, although there's nothing to do with the Addams Family in this. You get a clear hand that's like Thing sitting on the table with what looks to be five plastic trumpet valves that are actually sticking out of the palm and into the fingers. And apparently this is supposed to replicate the movements on the piano. Should this hand have been inverted and then placed on a piano, this would be the correct fingering for these different musical selections. You can apparently, for $16.95, have this plastic hand sitting there on your desk. There's no video of it, which sucks. It's the Pianist Hand Concert. Very carefully pronounced. Yeah, very carefully pronounced. Alright, and apparently you can play 4 songs here. You can play Beethoven's Fifth, Scott Joplin's The Entertainer, which most people know as the ice cream song. Or the music from The Sting. And then Chopin's Minute Waltz. Sorry, three songs. It looked like there were more there for a second. But so it's a neat concept, and very cheap when you consider that it just came after the $24,500. And remember that finder's fee, please, if anybody's going to be purchasing one of those. Now, the next thing we have up here is completely unrelated to robots. I know it's very sad, but if you've been following the whole sordid story of the Google Books fiasco, then let me just boilerplate this for you, in case you haven't been following it, rather. Google thinks that it'd be a great idea to scan all of the books that are in existence, so that way whenever you wanted to know something, instead of just, you know, trying to do research, you could sit there, type in, let's just say, aardvarks and emus in the same book. Google would, instead of, you know, showing the book on the screen, would actually tell you, okay, here's a sample chapter, is this what you really want, or here's a sample page or two. And then it would point you in the direction of where you could go to get the book. The publishers somehow think that Google is going to be secretly giving the rest of the book to people. Now, I when I was in college, I was very fond of sites that actually gave out some of the journals that gave out abstracts and things like that. It's just a short little paragraph that tells you what's going on in the article. Because you're not going to sit there and order the article from three universities over, you know, over the river, through the woods. You get it and you'll finally realize, you know what, the summary just wasn't good enough. This is nothing like what I thought. Somehow Mickey Mouse did not make it into this article and he really had to be there. But, you know, I know I'm babbling a little bit, but I hope you understand what I mean. So instead of, you know, taking the high road here, the book publishers have decided to get very petty. Specifically, the CEO of a Macmillan publishing company decided to, at a recent book expo in New York City, walked up to the Google Book Search beta booth, stole two laptops, and walked away. Now, the assistants who were running the booth did not notice this for over an hour, and then the executive, after a little while, you know, after these people are panicking, you know, oh my god, where did the laptops go? The executive strolled back up nonchalantly, gave the books back, and said that, well, there wasn't a sign there. It says, no, I hope you enjoyed a taste of your own medicine. Basically saying that Google was already stealing their books, so they were going to steal their laptops, because that roughly equates to the same thing. And then what he says, well, there wasn't a sign by the computers informing him not to steal, referencing Google's direct tactic, saying that that when they were scanning books, there was no sign that said you could not scan them. This isn't for public use. Of course not. It's fair use, buddy. All right, so just thought I'd put that out there. It just seemed to be one of the more infantile protests that I've heard of in a while. So, All right, next up we have a fun little thing. That was how not to act in public. This is how not to win a case. A man sues Gateway because he can't read their end-user license agreement. Well, it's not because he's illiterate or anything like that. Apparently the screen was Yeah, the screen was scrambled. The screen was scrambled. So he could not read the end user license agreement. He could not tell what he was agreeing to. So when he complained to tech support and everything, apparently he violated all different parts of the EULA. For instance, saying that you couldn't sue somebody about the computer. So he decided to sue them anyway. And they served him with a giant stack of paper. Apparently this guy is a... unfortunately, a high school dropout who is arguing his own case. He has no representation. So if anybody knows a lawyer who's willing to work pro bono and wants to stick it to Gateway, you might want to head over to Dennis Sheehan's abode there and help him out a little bit. I don't know the merits post, you know, pro or con here, but I'm pretty sure somehow I never really liked that part of the EULA, that you know, by agreeing to this, you cannot sue the manufacturer for loss of revenue. Well, you know, if your product's bad, I should be able to sue. There's no amount of disagreement that's going to say, you know, oh, you're right, I didn't lose any money. So, next up, we have a sport that actually gets it. Now, baseball is trying to fight Slingbox. They're trying to say, you know, if you live in L.A., you can only watch the baseball games that are in L.A. Unless, of course, you're paying for the exorbitant fees for the Baseball Direct package on whatever you want to be doing. So instead of, you know, let's just say you live in L.A. and you'd like to travel to New York, but you'd still like to get all your games that you're supposedly missing in L.A., or that you are missing in L.A. Well, if you bought the Slingbox, you'd be able to do that. You'd be able to transfer the games and view them on any internet-connected device. That's awesome. Great. Everybody wants to do this when they think about it. You know, especially the people who travel a lot. They're like, you know what? This is a really good idea. It basically allows you to watch your home TV anywhere in the world. Good idea. Right? Wrong. Place shifting is apparently bad, unless, of course, you're the National Hockey League. The National Hockey League is now actively supporting place shifting, and it's not really a surprise. The NHL has actually been involved in a bunch of really cool things that I've seen, at least. One of which is... if you have Comcast internet service, you can watch out-of-market games on your computer. So, like, I'm a pretty big hockey fan, so every once in a while, when you see, you know, regular season games, you're like, oh, you know what, it might be fun to catch Anaheim playing, you know, Colorado. They're not in my market. I would never see that game. But if you went on to Comcast.com, you'd be able to see it. Why? Because they provided it. So they're getting ad revenue from people looking at it online. They're pulling eyeballs in for products and other things that aren't readily available. And you know what the fun thing is? If they really wanted to, it's not that hard to make some kind of script that says, oh, okay, so you're looking at this online, so we're going to replace all the local commercials with content directed to you. Wow, that's just a weird concept. You mean something that actually just works? So apparently there's one sport out there that's embracing place shifting. So kudos to them, and hopefully it'll spread around all their little buddies, and hopefully it'll spread far enough to where you know, some other people will start offering things online. Because while I love hockey, I'm also a really big fan of baseball, and just sometimes. The radio doesn't cut it, and when you're far enough out that the only thing you have, like if you're visiting a relative or something else, you know, it's just nice to be able to know that you'd be able to get that game. Alright, that's a more than a little bit of a ramble there, but still. Alright, now the next thing we have up here, artillery. Yep, you heard me right, artillery. Why? Because I found it on one of the websites I read, and I think this is awesome. This is a potato cannon, which is basically a way to launch potatoes over large distances using PVC pipe, hairspray, and an ignition timer. So, what does this have to do with the internet? Absolutely nothing, except for the fact that it was found on the internet. And what does it have to do with coffee? Well, the website that it was found on is actually called Life After Coffee, an awesome, strange, eclectic blog that has stuff from the most technical down to the people who just like to look at things, shoot things. So, this is a 3-barrel potato gun with electronic ignition that delivers propane into each of the 3 chambers, ignition coil, spark plugs for ignition. This is the heavy artillery of the backyard warfare. So I just thought I'd pass it along just because I think it's fun. Alright, next up we're going to talk all about screens and laptops. The first up we have here is a tri-fold laptop. Yes, you heard me correctly, a laptop, not the folds in three, no, rather a laptop that has 3 screens. Now, okay, you're thinking, okay, you flip the laptop up, you flip the other 2 screens out. Now, what are these? Are these like privacy screens? Is this so you could work on your airplane and not have to worry about it? No. This is a serious 3 working displays on 1 laptop. Now, I don't know what you would need this for. It looks awesome. No word on how much this thing weighs, but I'm guessing somewhere in the nature of maybe 8 to 10 pounds. Why? Just because it looks so huge and bulky. Now, I would like the idea of a dual-screen laptop, if they could find a way to make it a little bit more manageable. And maybe, you know, after some of that e-ink stuff comes out, the, you know, it'll actually seep into the general consciousness. But three screens? Now, that's just crazy talk. So we're going to move right along here to the next thing up here. What about, everybody always jokes about Apple's original laptop and the fact that it was like 16 pounds and it wasn't really portable. Okay, well, how would you consider portable for a 42-inch LCD plasma, you know, LCD screen? Okay, fine. That could be portable if you're a giant individual and you just like carrying really big things around. But what would be the use of it? You'd need to find a computer wherever you went. Well, not so with this. Apparently, there's now a LCD screen that has a computer built into it to allow for product demonstrations, specifically educational uses, which I think is actually really an interesting idea. So basically you would have a projector PC built in. They have 37 and 42 inch models. It's a conference system. It just seems to be such an interesting, concept, I guess you could say. It comes with a 32-inch tall table. I don't know how portable this thing is, but then again, if you really ever saw in academia the projector carts that people wheel around, they're pretty unwieldy themselves. The only thing is, I haven't been able to find a firm price structure for this, so I'm guessing, let's just roll it right off the top of the bat here. We're going to say, okay, there's an integrated computer within a high-definition monitor. 42-inch one, I'm probably going to go for somewhere around $6,000. So that's what I would think that it would be. And, you know, some people might think it's worth it. Probably the same people bought the robots from a little bit ago. But, all right, next up from the new, we now have the new old look. We've actually showcased a couple little steampunk things from before. It's a genre in fiction that basically deals with Victorian era, or you know, right around the American Civil War, or even modern day, but instead of electronics and everything, everything's powered by steam. There's still the same level of technology, there's still the same level of complexity with things. It's just instead of electricity, steam is the primary mode of power. I believe it's something in relation to Charles Babbage's deference engine, but somebody took a Dell 1907 FP monitor, which is basically your standard 19-inch monitor from Dell, and turned it into a steampunk work of art. You really have to see that it has kind of like a it has definitely an antiqued look to it, so you can understand that. It has scalloped edges, and instead of the ubiquitous Dell stand that sits right in the middle of this, no, there's actually two lovely brass armatures that actually go up, so you can tilt the entire screen forward and backwards and move it around, and there's actually, you know, intricate clasps and closures all over it. There's plenty of flare and things like that strapped to it. Now, the only thing that I have a problem with this about, like I've seen other steampunk inventions, there doesn't seem to be too much tubing involved. For some reason, well, obviously, steam has to travel through something. Steampunk has a wonderful collection of tubes going from here and there, and it's just the complexity that seemed to bring it to life. So while this is really cool, it doesn't seem to bring the essence of steampunk. I would say more of an antiqued monitor. And that's pretty cool still, but alright. We move on to the next thing that is nothing but crazy tubes. And what is that? Everybody out there who owns a house or has done gardening at any point in their life, you've all had to mess with that hose and that stupid rack that always sits right around the spigot. Or you might have one of those flat hoses. Or you might even have one of those hoses that wraps around something. But they're never easy to deal with. So how about you make it fun to at least look at? This is called the hose roll. Imagine a ball with with spiky appendages that aren't really spiky. They're just kind of rounded edges. And what you do is you roll the hose in any which way you want over these spikes, and then it just sits in one giant, what it looks to be like a foot in diameter sphere with all kinds of spikes sticking out of it. And then when you want the hose, you just roll it out. So it just seems kind of fun, seems kind of cool. There's no mention of the price on the website, and for once I actually said that, looked down, and didn't see the price smacking me in the face. Still cool, still thought people might like it, people might enjoy it, so I figured pass it along to everybody out there, because I know we have a couple homeowners in the listening audience. And this is right around the time where I should say, if you are listening to this podcast over the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, then you should probably head on over to www. www.caffination.com. That's caffination.com. This is the Caffeination Podcast. Coincidence? I think not. All right. And that's where we live, by the way. All right. Are we done? Hardly. We have a plethora of stuff still left. All right. We have one thing that I just have here basically because of the pithy article that comes with it. This is something called the Shade Blade, and it's the title says it provides instant loneliness. So I'm just going to read this article because I have not seen any better venom coming out of something. So this is from the Sci-Fi Tech blog. It says, okay, here's a public service announcement. If you are a socially awkward person who would like to make new friends, that's great. And in order to do so, you need to avoid certain things. Things like the Shade Blade. The Shade Blade is basically an anti-device, something that will keep any potential buddies far away from you as humanly possible. So what is it exactly? Sit down. The Shade Blade is a visor with built-in sunglasses and a solar panel. Yes, solar panels. Those are built in the power stuff that are built into radios, phones, and walkie-talkies. No, yeah, I forgot to mention, don't use walkie-talkies unless you're a cop or a trucker. Really, dude, you need to make some effort here. You need to trick people into thinking you're a nice, normal guy, and once you have them trusting you, then you can bust out your Shade Blade. Until then, leave it at home. And that pretty much wraps up what that thing is. It's a lovely visor with strange-looking ear clips, and yeah, there's solar panels right across the tip of the visor, and then, of course, they have the lovely mirror shades that are fixed under it. So, yeah, tools beware. This is the perfect thing for you. Next thing we have up here is actually an alien abduction lamp. Just thought it was fun, thought I'd throw it in the show. This is, again, from the Sci-Fi Tech blog. Imagine a flying saucer, the traditional flying saucer, with the beam coming out from under the bottom of it, you know, in a golden sheen of plexiglass. And the light that's in the middle of the beam actually illuminates the entirety of the lamp. So the lamp up top, you know, it's opaque. It's a flying saucer. The beam is what actually allows the lamp to sit off the desk or table, and then that's where the light comes out of. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. Thought I'd pass it along. And then what I believe to be the last, almost the last little thing here from Tech Tidbits. I told you, veritable plethora. Absolute metric ton of stuff to talk about is probably one of the strangest things I've ever seen coming out of Japan or anywhere. It's a way to wrap your lovely LCD screen with a fuzzy cover. First of all, you're probably going to overheat it. Second of all, the cover looks like a bear. Third of all, the bear has a camera in its nose, so it's a creepy bear that watches you while you're on the computer. And apparently judges you. So, yeah, that's all we're going to say on that one. I just wanted to pass that along. It's kind of strange. Next thing up, apparently a bunch of Swedish developers have invented talking paper. And what's the first thing they think of? Not alleviating the pain of the blind, not allowing people who could not read before, not allowing the people who have trouble seeing, not helping the elderly, nothing like that. What are they thinking of? That's right, monetization advertisements. They want to make the cigarette packages talk. They want to make billboards speak to you. Yes, we have Minority Report right here. So, if anybody's listened to the podcast before, you know that at one point I talked about the captive audience stuff, where you're standing in front of a urinal, and what do you hear? You hear an advertisement that plays while you're doing your business. That was irritating. This could be ungodly irritating. This is the wrong direction to go with talking paper. Apparently, once it has the circuit complete, once you would touch something, it would automatically speak to you. So imagine touching the box of Rice Krispies and actually having the damn thing say snap, crackle, and or pop. Yeah, we would not go that far. So we're going to move right along. And then the last thing we have here is, would you like to get your green card? Well, a lot of people would if you're trying to get into the United States or trying to stay here. But that's not the kind of green card we're talking about here. We're talking about miniature house plant business cards. Yes, so for the landscape architect, for whatever else you might be, something that you could think of where plants would be a proper way to introduce your business. That's what these things are. So the one that they have linked up on Trend Hunter here, they actually lay the this is for a landscape architecture firm. You actually lay the business card in water, and then 3 days later, it sprouts out of the top of it. Yes, some kind of herb does. Another one is that they don't actually have linked up on the page that I actually thought was a lot better. It actually looks like a blueprint of what is a garden or some other kind of layout. It might be a tree-lined road or something like that, and it's all in black ink. What you do is you lay the card in water, and then over the days, the tree-lined road actually sprouts tiny plants so that it looks like there's trees growing on it. Now, this is just such an awesome concept. Yes, it's a one-and-done thing, but it's something to separate them from the pack. It's something to separate all the people who are out there saying, yes, I'm a landscape architect. Yes, I'm a florist. Yes, I'm a this, I'm a that. to, oh, wow, you're that guy who gave me that crazy card. So everything's a little gimmick until you get past a certain thing. So that wraps up, yes, my friends, that 37 minutes full of tech tidbits for you today. We have a lot of caffeinated bits left to go, so we're going to try and squeeze them in here. We're going to go a little bit quickly here. Hopefully you're enjoying the show so far. Again, just a small little thing here. If you are looking for this podcast and you're listening to it over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else for that matter, if somebody gave you the MP3, first of all, thank them. They've just enriched your life. Second of all, you need to head on over to www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And that's where this show lives. That's where you'll find all the next episodes and everything else like that. Now, the thing that we wanted to talk to you about here is actually not in the show notes, so if you're listening to this podcast, you are hearing something that's not in the show notes. We have recently finished one of our projects over at thecaffeination.com. One of those projects was filling out one of the sections of the recipes. There's actually a recipe called Sugar and Spice, where we go through all the different spices and all the different sweeteners that I thought needed to be explained. So, you might not think of some of them out there, like there's pumpkin spice, nutmeg, cinnamon, cloves, from top to bottom, all the different spices that I've seen people put into coffee, tea, whatever else. I gave you basically the flavor profile. I gave you some of the ways that I've enjoyed it and some of the ways that I've heard people enjoy it. So that is now complete. We're happy to say that the recipes section actually has real stuff in every nook and cranny. So we're going to be adding to the recipes section over the next couple weeks, rather. I'm not going to try and pin myself down to any 1 week. And tonight's reason for the fact that I'm talking so quickly is actually recipe number 3. Yes, that's black gold. So you can make this with real coffee and real espresso, or you can make it with instant, which is what I did tonight. And if you're listening, Elio, then yes, I know instant espresso is a crime and sin against man, and I will never ask for it anywhere. But it just so happens to be what I have around the house. So we're just going to move on from there. So basically, you make a nice, tall, steaming cup of coffee, and you add a shot of espresso. Or you take instant coffee and instant espresso and mix accordingly. Then, to this mixture, you add a teaspoon and a half of honey. Yes, that's right, honey to coffee. It gives it a strange but wonderful flavor. Then, after that, you add nutmeg, and then you add cloves, and then you add a dash of cinnamon. This strange brew has such a caustic effect on some people's stomach if you continue to drink it that you will actually get pain. But on the other hand, you will end up flying with caffeinated rush. No clue why. I don't know why that it does the way it does, because, I mean, I've had coffee with a shot of espresso in it, and it doesn't affect me like this, even with sugar, even with honey. I don't know, maybe it's some kind of conflagration with all the different spices and everything, but it's just a fun little way to be. All right, first up, a little update from the last Caffeination 135. We talked a little bit about a strange thing called the coffee snob. It's a cold drip coffee apparatus. Apparently, the coffee-snob.com got fixed, and I found out how much the coffee snob was. Well, it's a snob, so it's $85, and that's all we're going to talk to you about with that. All right, now the next cool thing that we saw here is actually directly related to beer, directly related to some of the alcohol content that's out there. It's a robot that stores beer in the inside, and then because you're a lazy person, it actually will pull the beer up, pop the top, pour it, and hand you the glass. Awesome. So now what I would actually need is 2 of these robots in my living room, not just the beer bot. I would actually have to fill the other one up with caffeinated beverages. I'd call 1 upper and 1 downer. I'd have to try and find a way of voice activating them so that, you know, it would be all right. I mean, they're $800 a pop, so still we're well below the Johnny number 5 number from earlier in the show. But still, it's just one of those things where you're looking at it and going, you know what, this is an awesome gimmick for a party, but $800, unfortunately, just a little too much to spend for it. Well, all right, a little too much to spend. I don't have any of that kind of money to spend, so it's a lot too much to spend. Now, something that's a little bit more our speed, how do you like cola, soda, pop? What do you call it where you are? Well, it doesn't matter what you call it. There's two new brands that are out there called Anything and Whatever. Apparently, they are mystery flavors. Yes, like the Dum Dum lollipops that are so popular with a lot of the kiddies that have that little question mark one, or like the... We're like just shoving a handful of jelly beans in your mouth and trying to find out which flavor was what. Or when the first Harry Potter movie came out, they actually had Bernie Bots, which apparently is a bean or a candy within the books that have all kinds of different flavors associated with them. Unfortunately, they had flavors such as booger and vomit. Yes, that's correct. And not saying that they actually tasted it, but they tasted nasty enough to be compared to it. So yes, you could not just take a handful of them and shove them in your mouth, because it was like a ticking time bomb. In my family, we used to have a tradition when we would create hamburgers for the grill. Most of us in my family like hot sauce, so my dad would make one or two suicide burgers. So you'd have a whole bunch of normal hamburgers sitting there. You'd have to try and eyeball which one he threw a little bit more Tabasco, and by a little bit more, I mean like a metric ton of Tabasco into. So it would have a slight red tint sometimes, but if there was cheese on top, you were pretty much taking your life in your hands. And every once in a while, I personally loved getting a suicide burger, but every once in a while there'd be an entire plate of them, and that would just be cool. So it's in homage to that we throw the surprise flavored popper soda drink up there. Now next thing we have up here, a link over from energyfiend.com. Wonderful site if you ever want to head on over there. They have a complete database of caffeinated beverages and a wonderful blog to boot. Well, they had linked a caffeine periodic table. It's apparently for $15 you can buy this thing, not from Energy Fiend, they just had it linked there, that allows you to create a poster, or allows you to get a poster with all the different energy drinks and their relative amounts of caffeine in it. And then there's a whole little chart there. The only problem that I have with this is a great, phenomenal, fantastic, wonderful, awesome idea. This is an idea that has been begging for without anybody know what they were asking. What's my problem with this thing? It looks like crap. There's no other way to say it. When you look at it, they have pictures of the bottles as opposed to stylized logos or anything. That, and they picked brown, yellow, and ochre for the colors of it. I just don't understand how some graphic designers can look at something and say, you know what, I have here a winner of a concept. It's kind of like the London 2012 logo. I don't know if anybody out there actually likes it, or if you've seen it, Google it, trust me. It looks nasty. It's this pink and yellow amalgam of what appears to be numbers from the Stone Ages, where they were all colorblind. But moving back to the caffeine poster, this is a great idea, like I said. I cannot believe that somebody actually looked at this after it was done and said, you know what? This is a great product. This is a $15 product. So I just would love to find out who can take this concept. I mean, there is no enlarged version, so it's not like you can see what all the different things are, but you could probably pretty much figure it out. Or you could head on over to energyfiend.com and start working through the database and create your own version of the periodic table, one that actually looks awesome. So this thing needs to live up to its awesomeness potential. So all right, now next thing, talking about awesomeness potential, what better name for an energy drink than Nerd? Yes, there's a giant glowing brain in a jar, and apparently it has a decent amount of caffeine. That's all you really need to know. They're all the same things. Now, the next topic I'm going to approach with more than a little bit of delicacy here. This is not necessarily safe for children, possibly. There's no dirty words in it. It's just a strange subject. So if you would like to continue, then please do. Otherwise, skip ahead about a minute and a half, and then you'll be fine. Waiting. Okay. All right. Earmuffs, everybody? Okay. The top 10 dangers of the coffee enema. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute, and then we're not going to say that word again, because this just freaks the ever-living hell out of me. I can't, like, this is over at ineedcoffee.com, which some of my friends have actually accused me of running. I do not run it. I love the website. I have published articles to the website. However, this is one of the June articles, the top 10 dangers of the coffee. Yes, you heard me correctly. So I don't know what the top 10 dangers are. I can't actually make it past the concept. So if anybody out there has actually tried this, ew. Coffee is for drinking. That's it. Don't go any further with it. I mean, I'm even on the border with the whole caffeinated soap thing. This takes it to a new and relatively unhealthy and definitely disgusting level. So we're just going to leave that aside. The only reason that I actually put it into the podcast was because I feel that it is my duty to inform people. So just in case we have anybody out there who swings that way, flies that general direction, there you go. There's an article for you. All right, and last but certainly not least, here at Caffeination 136, we have probably the stupidest product that I have ever seen come across my desk. It is called Booze to Go, and who created it? Students created it. Wonderful idea. A bunch of Dutch students got together and developed a powdered alcohol, which they say can be sold legally to minors. No clue how that happens. But then again, this is over in the Netherlands, where a whole bunch of cool stuff's legal. But still, the latest innovation in inebriation, supposedly, is according to mopo.ca. It's available in 20-gram packets and costs $1.35 to $2, or 1 to 1.5 euros. Basically, you take it up... You top it up. You top the little thing off with water and a lime-flavored drink with 3% alcohol content. So now this is one of the concepts where we take back to the PFA factor, the potential for abuse. Who out there who's over the age of 21 actually is looking at this product and saying, you know what, this is an awesome idea. This is a great use of time and resources. This is exactly what the college students of today need, a way to snort their alcohol without any liquid at all. I mean, that we're going to take aside the snorting factor. Okay, let's just say nobody's going to snort it. Let's just say possibly somebody's going to get a metric ton. We're using that phrase a lot here. We'll probably push it off to the side in a little bit. But it warrants it here. You get like 15, 20 of these packets. You pour it into one tiny little cup, and you drink it. Alcohol poisoning in like 3.4 seconds. Wonderful idea, gentlemen. Yeah, 3% alcohol per little packet. College students are not necessarily known for their restraint. So we're just going to throw that out there. If anybody has seen this and has tried it, please tell us how the flavor is. But just one of the strangest and quite probably the stupidest product that I've ever seen come across my desk here. So that about tops it off here for the Caffeination. This is the absolute end. There's no more hidden little stories there. The only thing else we really wanted to talk to you about today was a couple little, we have like probably, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes of poetry left? Nah, just kidding. All right. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site. It's kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination and you'll find our MySpace page. Add us as your friend, do whatever else you want. Or twitter.com/myspace and you'll get all the tiny little incremental updates for the fun things that happen around here. Or you could head right on over to the source, direct to the source as it were, at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And please, please, please send us all your comments, feedback, suggestion, whatever else you'd like to do over to caffeination@gmail.com. We thrive off your feedback. We feed off of your feedback, obviously. So we'd like to encourage people to write in. We love it when talking to listeners, and I really do try and email and respond to everybody who emails in to me. So, thank you very much for all your time and consideration here for the Caffeination. This has been Caffeination 136. Thanks and stay caffeinated, people.